restoring a C-47, and in the process, a connection to the people who flew it. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. At the last Times DC-3 and C-47 July reunion, to mark the 75th anniversary of the type's first flight, it quickly became apparent that the gathering of the aircraft was secondary to the people they brought together. Members of the Greatest Generation, who obviously don't do much traveling anymore, made an exception to be there, and the reunions and even first-time meetings were very emotional. Scott Glover's C-47, perhaps more than any other plane at Rock Falls, demonstrated the power of these warbirds to bring together people with interwoven personal histories, in part because the history of his plane has been researched so thoroughly. In talking to Scott, I had to start by asking him what it was about the DC-3 that made him decide to find and restore one.
Well, I'm one of the guys that just loved to fly. You know, started flying when I was 14 in gliders and soloed on my 16th birthday, licensed on my 17th, so forth and so on. Never had a desire to fly for a living, but my dad and I flew to Oshkosh for the first time when I was 15 in a Baking Deuce. We landed, and that was my first experience at Oshkosh. I was 15, and all the DC-3s were lined up. You know, they had the B-25s, B-24s, all the other airplanes. And for whatever reason, why does one airplane fascinate a kid? I don't know. I can't explain that. I made a D in psychology, so I don't understand it. But all the DC-3s with everybody camping under the wing, it just mesmerized me. And I told my dad at 15 years old, I said, someday we're going to come back in a DC-3. And I'm 44 now, so it took a while. But I was just really fascinated with the airplane and then continued to fly and went to school. And then when I got out of school, I took a week's vacation and went down to South Texas and got my DC-3 type rating. And that was just one of the funnest weeks I've ever had in my life. And again, never flew a DC-3 again until I was in my early 30s and was out working and earning money and ended up buying this airplane. I bought it in 2000. So I bought the airplane not knowing anything, and we hung a new engine on it and put a new elevator on it, and we flew it home, having problems with the right engine, just couldn't quite get it right. And sure enough, about 14 hours later, we shucked the right engine. We seized a main bearing in it. I just spent about $75,000 on the left engine back in the day, and I was looking forward to another one. I said, you know what, a corporate pilot can't afford this. So I parked it in a hangar that I had built for it, and I continued to work on it. You know, every night, just go out and clean something and restore it, but really couldn't afford that other engine, and so there it sat. And it's just amazing that I look back and I'm so thankful I couldn't afford it at the time. It was really a blessing. I mean, things happen for a reason, I believe that, because now that I could afford it, about 2 years ago, a man out of the blue, David Elliott, called me on the phone, introduced himself, and asked me, he said, can you tell me what the military serial number is in your airplane? I said, well, my serial number is 9058. He said, no. That's FAA stuff. I need the military data plate. Is it in your airplane? I said, I don't know. I had him on my cell phone. I went in the cockpit and looked behind the co-pilot seat. Never looked for that before. I knew where the data plate was, but I looked up there, and sure enough, in Santa Monica, California, there was the data plate, 4232832. He said, oh, you're going to like this. He said, your airplane flew and dropped troops on D-Day. I said, wow, I didn't even know it left the States. I already got cold chills again. I don't know if you can get those. I mean, I just got real emotional. And so that sparked a friendship between David Elliott and myself. And then we started doing more and more and more research. And then he ended up finding the pilot that flew it was Don King. And he found his wife. And this was months. And it didn't happen in weeks. It happened in months. And then as of January this year, I went out to Arizona and I met Shirley King and her family. And I met Gerald Parker, who was their best friend, and Gerald flew missions in this airplane, this very airplane. And so all this history just kind of fell into place. And the last time came around, this event was being looked at. I said, you know, this is the year. I said, we need to make the commitment. I had a new business running, and I said, you know, this is the year we can do it. And so we just put forth the effort to put the other engine on, and we decided to go back with a military-themed restoration. It's not a perfect representation of the way it was, because the way it was didn't look very good. So it's a show plane representation of what it did through the war.
The last time has provided a gathering for a lot of people who I see bumping into each other for the first time, who have connections they didn't know about. One of them is, we just heard that there's a guy standing over by your airplane who did the original inspection on it.
I can't wait to get over there and visit with him, and that's what has happened on this airplane, just one event after the other. I've got a diary started, and I just keep plugging information in the right time spots as we find it. So we're really blessed to be able to put together a picture. I have Don King's original logbook, logbook number one and logbook number two, that absolutely details every single takeoff and landing this plane made from Miami all the way through every supply mission through the end of, he left at the end of Market Garden. And so I don't have the details for Varsity. We know it flew Varsity, but I don't have the details, and I want those details. I don't know if I'll ever get them or not, but that's the neat thing about it. I don't know another airplane out here, and I know quite a few of them, that have the detail of the information, every takeoff, every landing. Some of them know they flew D-Day, but they don't know who the pilot was. They don't know who they dropped. We've got every paratrooper that dropped. We know his name, rank, serial number, whether they made it or didn't. And we know what happened to them after the war. We have that information. And now then, I'm looking into those families and trying to connect those families back to the airplane, because we're third generation now. And everybody's just really excited. And of course, they've got pictures of their dad or granddad, and they're supplying me that information. So I think this is going to be a never-ending project.
In a moment, Scott Glover tells us what's special about this airplane among all the DC-3s and C-47s on the ramp at Rock Falls. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Welcome back to the special feature from Aero News. Scott Glover's restored C-47 is impressive just sitting on the ramp, but at the last time reunion at Rock Falls, Illinois in July, the return of the people connected to the airplanes was overwhelming.
Yeah, the airplane is truly a piece of aluminum with engines, and you can take the oldest, ugliest DC-3 out here and you can make it look like this with a little bit of time and money. But truly, what's so special about this one is the history, the fact that I've got Shirley King here with me today, the fact that I've got Gerald Parker with me here today that flew these airplanes, and, you know, that's priceless. Money can't buy that. And we just look forward to sharing back and forth for as many years as we got, you know.
Now, you did some formation flying on Sunday, a little bit, small formation. You described that as a lot of fun. Tell us about that and what it's like to look forward to the big one on Monday.
Well, that was kind of a spontaneous thing. I got a call actually this morning at 6 from Dan Grider, and he said, "Hey, we're going to put a 3 ship up. You want to go?" I said, who's number 2 or number 3? He said, "It's you." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Sure." I'm not much of a hangar flyer. In fact, that's why I'm parked away from everybody else, so I can get out and get to the runway. Everybody else is kind of stacked in there, so Dan knows I like to fly. So I said, "Sure." So we got out here and we flew. And to be honest with you, I'd never flown formation in a DC-3. It was my first time. But it's just like any other airplane. It's pitch and throttles, and you just do it. The other pilot who's flying co-pilot with me actually has a lot more experience than I do. He's a great guy. Got a good team. But it was just so exhilarating to be tucked in beside another airplane. And it's challenging. The throttle movements, you're always jockeying just a little bit to hold that formation. And then I had dinner with Gerald Parker last night. I said, "How close did you guys fly?" He said, "We flew at night, 100 feet, typically 10, 20 foot wingtip, in a formation, a group of 14 or so airplanes." And I'm sitting here jockeying these throttles. And I talked to Tommy, my co-pilot. I said, "How do they do it? How do they do it? I've been flying all my life, got a whole lot more time than any of those guys ever had, and it's such a challenge, and you're tired, at the end of just an hour. I mean, just physically tired, it just gives you such an appreciation for what they did, and they didn't do that for fun. We're out here having fun. We're not getting shot at."
The DC-3 has been called the airplane that changed the world. It certainly seems to have had an impact on the people who flew it. Find some of their recollections of flying the DC-3 and C-47, or write your own in the diaries pages at www.thelasttime.org. See video of Scott Glover and his plane in the archives at aero-tv.net, dated September 10th. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.